and then move to a mashava. Parsha Tetzav is about the big day kahuna, and one would not expect to find a whole lot of halacha lemaisa in the psukim here in the parsha. Yet there is a pasuk which is brought ledina, and at least one aspect of the tzitz that's brought ledina, and I'd like to share it with you, and especially those of you who are learning Hilchos Shabbos in the morning. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, sort of half a story. I'd like to tell you the whole story. We learned at the time in Hilchos Shabbos that the Ramah says, and I think it's known, that there's an iser to cut a cake that has lettering on it. You have a birthday cake or the like that has lettering on the cake, that it's also to cut the cake. Today they have at Simchis, they have cakes with a picture on it. They have pictures sometimes of Chasen Kala, a mitzvah boy. It's the same thing. Cutting a picture and cutting a word is exactly the same thing. And the Mishnah Berurah says that it's awesome. It's awesome that it's mechika. And the Dogel Mervava, which is the Dayi Yehuda's notes, on the Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, the Dagom Ravava disagrees. He says that you're allowed to. He makes a tzirif of Dov Hashem Miskavin and the Mekalkel and Dov Hashem Miskavin, Mekalkel and Kalach Hayad, and he's not here. It's a machlaikis if you're allowed to cut a cake on the lettering. And although there are many mekilim, the Aruch HaShulchan's mekel, the Chazainish's mekel, but the Mishnah Berurah is machmir, and that's the way with Nayig. With Nayig, that we don't cut a cake that has lettering, we don't cut it along the lettering. So that I think is halacha psuka, that's well known. Mishnah Berurah says, Hani mili, if it's a cake that's written with icing on the cake. Now, so you have a cake, and then you have the icing on the cake. It's similar to ink and water and ink paper and ink on the paper. It's similar to ksiva. But the Mishnah Berurah says if the lettering is chokok, is etched into the cake, that you're allowed to cut it. Then the issue of cutting doesn't apply. So if you have such a thing, a cake or a cookie or a chocolate bar that has lettering etched into it, as opposed to written with icing. So the Pesach in the Mishnah Berurah is that's what. As I state the Mishnah Berurah. So about 11 years ago, I say about 11 years ago because my son was right before his bar mitzvah. I went with him to Bnei Brak, to Reb Chaim, to get a bracha. So I went to Mincha. I figured right after Mincha, I'll go over and get a bracha for him. So I think you all know after Mincha, he's Kamalach Hashem, he's gone in a second. So I told my son, okay, so I have to do a Divine Shalom's bracha. So there was somebody there who knew me, said Bnei Brak Yid, and he said, I'll get you in, don't worry. So I guess he's well connected, because before I turned around, I was in the room, Reb Chaim, with my bar mitzvah bracha. So I told him my son's going to be bar mitzvah this summer, and so he gave him a bracha. So after he gave him a bracha, to my surprise, like I thought it was a taiva, I'm in here for a minute, the people standing around Reb Chaim said, you have no shailas to ask? Plenty of shailas to ask. You have no shailas to ask? So he says, Arof kum, tadmishkan shailas. Okay. He asked for it, so I asked him a question. I asked him the following question. And this is Mishnah Berurah. I said that the Mishnah Berurah says that it's chokuk, it's mutter, and if it's icing, it's aser. But that's a sugya in Gittin Daf Chaf. And there's a sugya, the Gemara is a shailam, chakika k'siva dami, alaf k'siva dami. If you etch out a get on whatever it might be, on a get that written on parchment, a get can be written on anything. So you take a piece of metal and you etch out a get on the metal. The Gemara is a shaila if chakika is kiksiva dami. And the maskana is that chakika is kiksiva. Must go get his kosher. The Sefer Torah has to be written ala Sefer Bidyai. We learn out of a pasuk in Yirmiyah. When Yirmiyah wrote Eicha, the pasuk in Yirmiyah describes when he wrote Eicha, so he wrote a Bidyai. But that's the Sefer Torah, it's filling of mezuzahs, there's a cost of asking with parchment and with ink, etc. But otherwise, ksiva, even if it's etched, somebody would etch on Shabbos, he'd be chayav for ksiva. So what's shouting Mishnah Berurah? What's the difference if it's written or if it's etched? This is the problem that I had with the Mishnah Berurah. So Rav Chaim said, the Ken Mekel thing. That's what he said. Because the Chazon Ish is Mekel, so of course he said the Ken Mekel thing. So I said, okay, but what's Pshat in the Mishnah Berurah? So he said, Echveis Mishnah. It's a rare answer from Reb Chaim. He said, Echveis Mishnah. So I suggested a teretz to him. I suggested the following teretz. I said, maybe Chakika Kiksiva is if you actually have a surface and you take an etching implement and you etch into it, so then the chakika is a din of ksiva. You take a piece of metal, you write a get, or you write on Shabbos, chalila, so someone's chayiv, you're not allowed to break it. When the Mishnah Berurah says that you have an uga and oisyes are chakukos alav, maybe he means that it was made bitfus. It was originally made in a form. So that's not ksiva. Ksiva is, you're right, with a pen, with ink, with icing, or etching, but there has to be a writing. Somebody has to take a tool and write it. Maybe the Mishnah Berurah only means if it's made with the tefus, as opposed to if it's etched out. And that's what I suggested. What? Therefore, what? You see the chakirecha. Either it is, or it's not. The Gemara there and get the chaf. Okay. So Reb Chaim said, Seken Zayin. So I don't know if he's just saying it to be nice to me, make me feel good, or if he's, if you want to hear about Reb Chaim, he doesn't do things just to make people feel good, no? If it's Emes, it's Emes. It's Seken Zayin. So then he said, so I have to tell you, the Gemara there, when it talks about Chikika Ksiva, talks about the Tzitz. But it sits, it says, it was Mechtaf Bituchei Chayisim, it calls it a Ksav. And it was etched in. The Kodesh Hashem was etched in. So the Gemara is medame it to the tzitz, but the Gemara is besupik, like how do you say how the tzitz was made? So Reb Chaim said that the Gemara is medame to a tzitz, and it could be, he said, well, I don't know his exact words, it could be that the tzitz was made bitfus. So I said, okay, then it's a tiyufta. Right, the Gemara says what the tzitz was done was a ksiva. So since he says it's mashal the Gemara that it may have been done bitfus, we're not sure. So therefore, you see that tfus is also mechta, is also mechta pituchi chasa. It's also ksiva. So it sounded like it's a tiyufta. So I said, okay, so it's a tiyufta if that's what it is. So Chaim said, no, it's a kenzayin. So I don't know what he meant, it's a kenzayin. So afterwards, I went back to the Beis Medrash. I figured, look, I know the Gemara ends up chakika ksiva dami. I don't know how the tzitz was made. Like, how do we paskin? So I took out the Rambam, that sugat sechent erin given, which is Hilchos Klei HaMikdash Perek Tes Halacha Beis. And there, the Rambam paskins that it was a Maisa Chakika, that it was pressed out, that it was written, so to speak. The Rambam paskins that the tzitz was written, it was pressed, he says, from the back. It pressed out the letters. The letters protruded. How do you make letters protrude? You take an etching implement in the back and you press the gold. Gold is very soft. And you press it out, you make lettering. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says it was made bitfus. So I assume that's what Ruchai meant. It's Machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid. So it seems, it's fascinating. So Machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid how the tzitz was made, and totally in that is what type of cakes you're allowed to cut on Shabbos. What type of you have a chocolate bar with letters in it. The letters are not etched out. They don't have little people etching out the letters. They make they pour the chocolate into a form. So they have the cracked Israeli crackers. A lot of them have in the cracker they have the word Osem or whatever company it is etched in. There's nobody standing there etching it in. There's no Maisik Siva. It's made betfus. What? I mean the bias, the shin of the bias has to be able to kick up. It has to. Lamais has to be dafka napit fuss. So you bring a riot from there. Could be, maybe he's telling you this too. I don't know. It's so it comes out. It's a fascinating thing. How was the tzitz made? The Rambam and the Rabbi argue if the tzitz was made with a maisa chakika or a maisa tfus. So the way I understood, Chai was saying that this teretz depends on this machlokes the Rambam and the Rabbi. If you hold like the Rambam that the tzitz was etched, so then the Gemara is only saying etching is kiksiva. Then it's fuss, like a chocolate bar that has lettering in it, or things that have lettering in it, then you're allowed to break it. That's not kiksiva. It's only if you hold that the tzitz was made with fuss, and the Gemara, the pasuk calls it mechtap yituchechaisim. So then it's a right, even with fuss is a dinksiva, and if that's the case, then you're not allowed to break it. Not allowed to break it. Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah passes lakula. So we don't know. The Mishnah Berurah meant bitfus, or he meant etched out. Really, I'm not sure what he meant. But certainly bitfus, the cholapachas, you're allowed to break on Shabbos.
If ksiva is only l'shem, if mechika is only also l'shem ksiva.
It's the rice, it's Rabbanu. At any rate, the point is that halacha lemaisa, you could be mekel in the smaller chiddush. That's for sure. Mishmur is mekel in a case. So at least when it's made bitfus, you certainly could be mekel. I can't think. Can you think of anything food that they actually etch it with an etching tool into the food? I don't know. I can't think of any such thing that they etch it without anything. In the olden days, you used to go to a kiddush when chopped liver was a style. They used to have at a fancy kiddush. They had chopped liver in the shape at the kiddush at the with the spread. They would have it, and it would be in the shape of a fish or in the shape of something. And it wasn't done with icing. It was done. The fish itself was in the shape of something. I don't know why they made it in the shape of a fish. Liver doesn't come from fish, but that's the way it was. So are you allowed to break that?
They do melons also.
They do melons, but they're just designs. Are they actually, they look like something? What? What do they look like? They really look like roses, or they're just... Okay. All right, it would come out. It would be totally in this. It has a thing, what has a shank siva? If it has a shank siva, it doesn't. At the very least, bitfus is mutter. Hakik itself, so chayim sevi kemekel zayin. The chazanish is mekel even by icing. It's just a fascinating thing that this is totally in the way that tzitz was made, so it's like out of left field. The Gemara is the one that's medam and also melts, but it seems that the way it was made, the machlekes and how it was made, is what this is totally in Ladina. So al kapanim, you have at least one piece of halacha lemaisa in the parasha. Kikachi dakash al Torah. I'm sure that is. There are other places that you can bring a raya. The Eifai will chakuk in Mamish. The Mamish chakuk. But could be with the Shamir. But anyway. Okay, anyway, this is the Nakuda, I guess, from the parasha that I want to share with you as a Dvar Halacha. There's the one time, in general, I'm very not shy, but... By Gedolim, I hate to spend that time with my kashis. Unless something is halacha lemaisa, I never asked anybody. Except that one time, Erev Chaim. I asked him that time the second question, which in Luxudis I mentioned to you. I asked him, last year we spoke about it, if a Friday Yid is driving a car on Shabbos, and your car is parked, And the guy, the yid, drives right into your car on Shabbos. He puts his foot on the gas pedal, and I always say she, right, drives right into your car. And the question is, are you allowed to be tevei mamon? Are you allowed to ask them to pay? What's the shayla? Come to drop me there. No, mechal Shabbos is part of the teshlumin. You're allowed to be tevei their mamon. Come to drop me there. So first I asked Reb Chaim, if someone throws a ball and breaks my window, it's coming to Rami, they can't be Teveya. So he said, the Malach is a Kilkel. Malach is a Kilkel, you don't say Kamlai. So I said, okay, let's say I was driving a car. The Malach itself is not a Kilkel, pushing the gas pedal is not a Kilkel. So he said, it's coming to Rami. So we spoke about it.
Only when he would be
in Taka
Makhaib? I mean, most Friday's today are not somebody that's clear.
They don't know Kamlai Rami.
No, they don't know that it's us.
Yeah, you mean the Shagigan? What's Chavi Misa Shagigan? We also say Kamlai Rami. Chavi Kris Shagigan. Chavi Misa Shagigan. My car, so we don't say Kamlai Shagigan. So, by Lavin, not, because Lavin we learn out of Kedai Rishasai. Anyway, those are the two questions I asked. Okay, I want to share with you a thought.
Doesn't the mitzvah come before?
That's why I phrase it always. She's pressing on the gas pedal when she slams into you. You know, like, Luyatzora, not. You don't have to assume if it happens, God forbid. If it happens, Lamaisa, you don't have to assume. But, Luyatzora.
If you come in and you go and ask her for money, if you're insurance or whatever, you ask her to give you money, because she's down.
So, what does that depend on? You remember? Remember, we had a Rashi in Daf Tzadik Rashi, Bamitzia, that said that it's only din of Ma'aseh Bezdin. Bezdin can be mechayev both, but you bet some chayev. Rashi said that beferish. Es non asra Torah filu
ba'alima.
There's
no problem to ask her for the money.
According to Rashi, there's no problem. We had a Rechayim. Rechayim said that by what you're saying is true by Malkus. Malkus will not get the Rishas, and Mishachat and Chayim Shemesh the Rishas. But by Nisa, he Reb Chaim held it's a Ptur Be'etzim.
Even if she's not Chayim, you can always ask someone for money. You say, look, you damaged me, I want money. So they say no.
If they say no, and you want to be Teveya, then... Okay, so the shadow is if you can be Teveya. I'm not holding Aloch Lamais. I'm talking just Kamli Drami Day in the real world. It really exists, you know. All right, so these are the Inyanei Halacha I wanted to talk about. I have a thought I'd like to share with you, and maybe it's on left field, but I think it's very negeya. My father, Olav Shalom, came to America in the late 40s. He came after the Holocaust. And they came together, not the same time exactly, but over 2 or 3 years. My father's mother's maiden name was Weiss. My father's father was Reisman. There came 4 Reismans and 3 Weisses. 7 people came together. And they came with nothing. They were all in their 20s and the low 20s. They came with nothing. And from that, Baruch Hashem, the Mishpach is on both sides. Last week, the last Weiss died. The last Weiss of the 3 passed away. And yesterday, the last Reisman, my uncle passed away. And sort of, at least now Mishpacha, that door is gone. Those who went through the Holocaust and came here, the door is gone. And look, I'm not, at least not an outwardly emotional person that I got all worked up about it, but when I think about things, my brain goes on all cylinders. I tend to think about things, so both cylinders are working. And I'd like to share with you a thought about us, not about them. I'm not saying it's about them. I'm not. I'm just talking about people. The thought I want to base on something that Rav Schwab writes in the Iyun Tefillah, in his Pirush on the Siddur, on Ozi Hashir. Rav Schwab writes there in a Musig, I think he writes about it in more places, but that's the place I remember now. Rav Schwab says the following sentence. He says, we know a malach is a bar shlichus achas. A malach can only do one shlichus at a time. It's an idea that we grow up with. A malach has one shlichus, a malach can't have two shlichus in, so by Abraham Avinu had to come three malachim, one to Mevaser Asara, one to Mehapech HaSadayim, one to be Matzal HaSlait. A person is a bar shtei shlichus. A person can do two things at a time. It's not the point that you can do two things at a time, you can drive and talk on the phone at the same time. That's not his point. His point is that a human being does things based on more than one motivation. A person is a combination. It's not that a person could do shlichus achas and could do shtei shlichus. It means that every one of us, whenever we do anything, we are be'etzem. A person is a bar shnei shlichus. A person does things based on more than one motivation. And the example, I'll tell you the example he gives. It says the malachim bikshu lai meshira after kriyas yamsuf. And the Rabbi Shalom said, "Ma'i say yadei tavim b'yam atamay meshira." And then Klai Yisrael said Shira. Klai Yisrael Shira is considered a wonderful thing that Klai Yisrael said Shira. It's the same time that Ma'aseh Yadai Tov V'Yam. V'Atamarim Shira. So Shwamzi's side is this. He says, a Malach is a Bar Shlichus Achas. What's a Bar Shlichus Achas? The way I understand. A Bar Shlichus Achas is like an accountant. You have a business. You give the accountant how much money you made, how much money you spent. He takes an adding machine or a computer, he does all his numbers, and at the end he tells you, you made money, you lost money, business is good, business is bad. He's a bar shlichus achas. He puts all the numbers in, and he comes up with one naskana. He doesn't start telling you, well, you know, this part was good, this part was bad. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you for the bottom line. A malach is a bottom line person. He doesn't have two facets to things. The bottom line, he said to be Mahabach HaSadayim, he's Mahabach HaSadayim. Finished, there's nothing else. A human being, so the Malachim can't say Shira. Ma'aseh Yadei Tov V'Yam. You take a calculation of the tragedy of Ma'aseh Yadei Tov V'Yam and the bracha of Klal Yisrael being saved. But Hashem said, the net result is Ma'aseh Yadei Tov V'Yam. You can't say Shira. A Yid, really every human being, is a bar shtei shlichus. That means that you have to be able to deal with two contrary feelings or two contrary experiences. You have to be able to deal with both of them properly. If you're in a matziv of saving Klal Yisrael and Ma'aseh Yadei Tov V'Yam, a human being has to be able to feel the agmas nefesh of Ma'aseh Yadei Tov V'Yam and the simcha of Hatzala at the very same time. At the very same time, you have to be able to deal with A and deal with B. Stira, a person has to be able. All of life involves contrary things pulling at a person. A person has to be able to deal with both, not just to come out with the bottom line, to be able to deal with both. Probably the best example in Shulchan Aruch is the halacha that when a man loses his father, he makes Dina Emes on the Ptira and Shechianu on his Yerusha. As I say, Shulchan Aruch. He makes Shechianu on Yerusha. That doesn't mean that his father was Reichman and he got millions of dollars. No, it means whatever Yerusha he got, if there's Yerusha. And he makes a Dina Emes and a Shechianu. Now, I've been to many Levayas. I haven't heard anybody make a Shechianu. I'm told that Rabbi Yaakov used to say, the minig is as mefagest mafin de Shechianu. The minig is you forget to make the Shechianu. It tells us it seems a bad taste, no? If you're a Levaya, and the child is crying, and he makes a Dayan Emes, he rips Kriya, then he makes Shechianu on the Yerusha. It seems to us to be a bad taste. But who's writing it? The Rebbe Yosef Karo is writing it. The Beis Yosef is writing it. We have better taste than the Beis Yosef. I mean, we're on the Reima Madrega. The answer is that the bigger Madrega a person's on, the more he's a Bar Shtei Shlichus. The more he could deal with two contrary feelings and deal with each one appropriately. Deal appropriately with the tsar of the ptira, make a dynamis, and deal appropriately with the simcha of having Yerusha, and make a bracha on that. It's certain godless to be able to have compartments in your brain and deal with this properly and deal with that properly. It's a whole different thing. One of the stories they had from Shlomo Zalman is when he left the hospital when his wife passed away. On the way out, somebody met the Talmud who didn't know what had happened, and that the Talmud told him he's engaged, and how Shlomo Zalman and Bakush, and he gave him a bracha and everything. And so people told how the godless, the taka godless, that he was able to do it. But that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being a bar shtei shlichus, dealing with two contrary things, and being able to mesh them together and deal with them together. If you think about it, a lot of avodas Hashem is that way.
Well, the page that I was mentioning is that being dealt with two separate times.
But that's the point.
Not together, they're the same together, but all the pages.
The same person deals with this way and this that way. With Shira this way.
It's the putting this emotion on hold, saying Shechayana,
putting
that.
What I understand he's saying, Rav Chaim, Rav Schwab, is that you deal with this, you deal with that. You say Shira on this, and you deal with that. Not that it's a combine. I'm saying the Malachim can only combine it. A Malach comes out with a bottom line. A Malach can only combine it and come to one Naskana. So the Malach says, there's this much Tzar, there's this much Simcha, get an accountant and come to a Naskana. That's the Derech of a Malach. He has one shlichus in the world. He's created for this one shlichus. So right now he's created for one shlichus. A human being has to be a bar shtei shlichus. Now, this idea is something I saw Be'er Schwab a long time ago, and as time goes on, I see it's nagia to people. But first, it's again Yiddishkeit in general. I'll give you an example. And this example is in the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Hudner, the Mamore Pesach. Has the same idea. It doesn't call it Bar Shtei Shlichusim. It's in the Maimer Memches. Rav Hudner writes that for someone to be able to learn, he has to be a Bar Shtei Shlichus. He doesn't use the word Bar Shtei Shlichus. I'll tell you his lashon in a minute. But he says to be able to learn, you go, you learn a Gemara. How do you learn Gemara? Says you have to do two things that are contrary to each other. You makabel the Messiah, what it says, that it's emes. You have a Messiah, the Messiah is true. And then you makabel, you try to understand it. But we don't slug up a Mishnah because we have a kasha. We learn a Mishnah, we have a problem, we try to work it out. So on the one hand, he calls it Kvayt Hashem Haster Davar. One aspect of learning is the Haster Davar. We don't understand. There's certain things besaser. No one will ever be able to explain until Mashiach comes why a bar is pater on Caleb. That's because there's a kasev. A bar is pater on Caleb. I dug a bar. Why should I be pater someone who ruined this car? There's a kasev. Bar is pater on Caleb. Kvayt Hashem Haster Davar. That's one thing. A minute after you learn that bar is pater on Caleb, and it doesn't make sense, you makabel. You get to a Gemara that is a kasha, and you start clearing using your own seichel to understand what would be. That's the end of the pasuk in Mishlei. Kvoid malachim chaker dover says kvoid alakim haster dover kvoid malachim chaker dover. There are two the contrary aspects. The difficulty Balei Tshuva have learning into the hashkafa of learning is this idea, because in the secular world, Newton could have said something, Galileo could have said something. If the scientists prove it's wrong, bang, you throw them in the garbage and you go with your mahalach. That's the way science is. The Torah Kedusha, the opposite things. You have to be able to mesh the two, to deal, again, you don't mesh the two and get an equation, but you deal at the same time with the Hester Dover, with the fact that the bar is pater on Caleb, and at the same time you deal with the shayla of somebody who fell into a bar and how is the hevel bar mazik, can you try to understand and use your own chaker davar to understand what the Gemara means. The opposite things, the opposite kaychis, then the two kaiches, you have to be able to deal with each one. Now, the truth is that it's a... If you'll take the time, you'll see a lot of Yiddishkeit is gebayt on things that would be serious. Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, to a certain degree, you have to deal with each one. Or Tisha B'Av, right? It's a Mayid and it's Tisha B'Av. How's that Mayid Tisha B'Av? How you deal with it? Or Pesach, you do Simanei Anius, you eat Maror, and Simanei Ashiras. You know what's going on? As a matter of fact, if you work your way through, I think if we put our mind to it, we went through Kala Terakula, we could find probably 99% of the time what the Torah tells us to do involves Rosh Hashanah. It's a Yom Tif and it's a Yom Hadin. Make up your mind. You don't say Al, it's Yom Hadin. And then Lekul Echlu B'Sim Chalach Lechem, right? Hashem Yimulaschem. That's Rosh Hashanah. You go and eat. You have to eat Yom Tif Suda. Isn't that Steven? And he's in the shul. Be'ima, and it's Yom Tif. Yom Kippur is easier. Yom Kippur is one thing. Yom Kippur is one. You go straight through. One focus. Rosh Hashanah, very hard. Very hard. You know, you go to eat Yom Tov Suda, and you, it's Rosh Hashanah, and you're supposed to go to sleep. What's the difference? You go to sleep, you're busy eating for an hour. I don't, why is sleeping worse than eating for an hour? I don't know. They're serious. You need to realize that the Avodas Hashem is dealing with contrary things and being matzliach in each one. And I'm saying two things. It's not two things. It's three things and four things and five things as life goes on. When you're in kindergarten, you focus on one thing at a time. There's no two things. You focus on one thing, you don't have anything on your mind. When you're playing with that, you know, the tow truck, that's all there is. Nothing else going on. As a person is matzliach in life, his life becomes multifaceted. As you get older, as you come to a chuppah, as you have a family, as you have a home, as you have a business, as you have challenges, suddenly your life has many facets. They're not all going to work out exactly the way you want. They're not going to work out exactly the way you want. Hopefully, everything will end up good, but some will be more challenging than others. You're going to have things that distract you, that disappoint you. It's going to happen. I'm not cursing anybody. I'm just telling you, you know, that's the way it is. Things are going to happen that are going to disappoint you. You go into the bakery, and they'll be out of cheese danishes. How do you deal with that? Things are going to disappoint you. If you'll put your mind into full gear and look around, you observe others, it's hard to observe yourself. You'll see people who are consumed by the one facet that knocks them down and have the inability to deal with the many facets of life. They can't deal with contrary things. It overwhelms people. Now, a certain amount of pressure would overwhelm anybody. I'm not criticizing. I'm just observing the way people are. The way people are, your life is going to have facets to it. It's going to happen. You can have a different aspect of your life. You're not used to it. You grow up in yeshiva. You grow up. You know, what are you worried about? You don't have... You have going to school, coming home and eating and playing basketball, and what else is there? And suddenly, there are facets to your life that are not predictable. They're sometimes disappointing. A person has to learn to be a bar shnei shlichus. To be able to have things in his life that disappoint him, they don't overwhelm him. People talk to me about problems, and they tell me, b'zeh halashen, I have this problem, and I can't. They use the word, I can't. I can't daven. I can't this. I can't concentrate. I can't. What do you mean I can't? You're a big boy. You can. You're just not used to this musig of being a bar shnei shlichus, of having two aspects to life, and having sometimes a disappointment. Doesn't even have to be a disappointment. Sometimes it's just a stressful aspect of life, and other aspects of life. You look at people who work, a family. Some of them are struggling in business, struggling to make it work. Some are struggling with Sargid Ulbanim and other things. And they come into shul at night and they sit and learn. How do they sit and learn? They didn't solve their problems. if you're able to be a bar shnei shlichus, if you're able to deal with multiple things at one time, you'll be successful. If you can't deal with multiple things at one time, you're going to be a failure. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. If you have a business that you have to succeed at, and one aspect of your business is frustrating you, you don't let it consume you. You don't let it consume you. You take the other aspects that are not negative, and you build them up. You don't let the negativity take over the person. I wonder, and I only lived in this century, actually 20th century. I'm only alive this last spell, so I don't know. But one wonders if in this area there was ever such a difference between generations. People who came after the Holocaust and the generation that grew up here in America. Now, when I grew up, we all had parents that went through the Holocaust. It was rare that anybody had grandparents. The idea of having grandparents, you know, when I was in elementary school, it was rare. Because my mother was born in America, I had a set of grandparents. Very few people had grandparents. The idea of great grandparents was science fiction. It was like out of space. It didn't exist. The idea, if you use the word great grandparent, it was like, you know, like Mashiach, you know, things that you never saw, but you believe it could be. It never existed. We grew up in a generation where we watched our parents. We didn't understand them. Our parents who survived the Holocaust, they didn't go to parenting classes. You know, they didn't have any of this. You know, they had a certain siyata d'shmaya, which was because of what they went through to raise children. But they lived lives, and we all knew it, that had tremendously disappointing is a light word to use, aspects to it. They had parts of their lives they couldn't talk about. It will come the time of the year that they had Yahrzeit. What was Yahrzeit? Yahrzeit is the day they came to Auschwitz. And my father had Yahrzeit on one day for 22 immediate family members. I'm talking about his siblings and their children, their wives and children. 22, including his mother. They all died in one day, in one gas chamber. They, incredibly, were able to have more than one facet to their lives. They had the disappointing facet of their life, which they never got over. People went crazy from it. And they had that facet of life. They had a different facet of life. They had another aspect of life that they dealt with. They dealt with raising children, having a parnasa, building yeshivas, and even sitting and learning. They were able to do it. We, the generation after, we become overwhelmed by one difficulty, one distraction, one disappointment, and we shut down. We shut down. I can't. The words, I can't. What does it mean, I can't? I can't. Physically, someone's physically sick, he hasn't even been, he can't. But I can't. There's a disappointment, and we shut down very, very quickly. We're just not used to it. We're not used to it. I don't know how to deal with it emotionally. I just know how to deal with it intellectually, intelligently. You want to deal with it emotionally? You have to go to a social worker. I'll tell you how to deal with it. But you want to deal with it with your head? A yid deals with shtei shlichus and ba'adadi. We do it all the time. Deal shtei shlichus and ba'adadi. It's time to daven mincha. It's almost shkia. A yid is in the car. He pulls over on the side of the road. He davens mincha. Are we matzliach on the side of the road to have kavana? All right, but we know that's our job. We know it's our job. There's shtei shlichus and ba'adadi. You go to the hospital, someone's dying. You say shema with him. You say vidu with him. How do you get the energy to do it? It's the two facets to life. There's the positive and there's the negative. There's the disappointment. My point to you is that this musig of shnei shlichus and ba'adadi, Rav Schwab learns it into the pasuk Hashem ish muhama, Hashem shemai. He touches very interesting. He touches Hashem ish muhama. Hashem is the Baal Gevura, the Baal Hadin. Hashem Shemai, and he's also the Baal HaRachamim at the same time. Shani Mishtamish B'din V'Rachman B'Hadadi. Hashem uses Din V'Rachman. It could be B'din here, B'Rachman here. This musig, this idea of being a Barashnei Shlichasin, I find it's maybe the hardest thing. The Nakuda really is to be a positive person, not to let things knock you down, not to let things take its toll on you. If you have two aspects to life, you want to deal with the positive. You want to deal with the positive. I really can't think of anything in life that's good that doesn't have challenges. You fool yourself otherwise. The people think they win the lottery and everything's smooth sailing. It's like the guy who gets broken up over something. The guy who has a simcha and doesn't realize there are challenges is also is a fool. Someone who gets married is well mali simcha. He doesn't realize that getting married means having challenges. You know. So the Gemara says there was such a wedding, and one of the Amiram got up and he started screaming, "Veilon de Misna, Veilon de Misna," of a wedding. Imagine someone tried that today. He started wailing, "Veilon de Misna, why are you happy? Everyone's going to die. We throw him out." Anyway, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think you hear this in elementary school or in high school. It grows on you slowly. I want to tell you, the more successful you are, the more headaches you'll have. I don't mean migraines. The more a hobo who doesn't have a home, doesn't have a family, he can get on a train and go from town to town. He sleeps in a cardboard box, right? He doesn't have distractions. He's a failure, a big failure. The fellow, Baruch Hashem, is a big mishpacha and a successful business, or even a challenging business, and a home. He's the one that has the many facets to his life. It's a symbol of success. It's not a symbol of failure. So what's going to happen? Hashem should bench you all with children. You'll have a child that'll give you a headache. It'll give you agmas nefesh. So what are you going to do? You think it's not supposed to be that way. You think it's not supposed to be that way. It's going to be that way. It's the way it's going to be. There are different aspects to life. We're easily fooled. We're easily fooled. We want things a certain way. You have to be a Baruch Shnei Shlichus. The distraction people have in yeshiva when it's finals time, the distraction people have in yeshiva when there are other things happening around them, and somehow they can't deal with both, it's because you're missing in the fundamentals of it. Think about it. Whatever you do, whatever you're doing, the Shnei Shlichus and Ba'adadi, whatever you do, somebody saves up money. He's not spending it. It's hard for him. He wants to spend it. He's not spending it. That's a disappointment. But he's saving it for something better, which is a benefit. Someone's on a diet. He's not eating, but he has a goal. Everything. There are two things pull at you, and you have to deal with them. All right, so maybe I'm getting carried away. But I'm telling you, that's the way it is. Kachem Advarim. You have to be able to be a Baruch Shnei Shlichus. If you're not a Baruch Shnei Shlichus, you fall apart the first thing that comes up. No, Hashem should give you, you should be Zaycha, I should be wrong. Everything should go smoothly. Everything should go well. There's no such thing. Yes, Hashem. Mashiach will come. Things will go smoothly.